everybody. I'm Tracy Tucker, and welcome to the Who Is In My Genes podcast, where we share adventures in exploring family trees, including tips for researching your own family tree, stories about discoveries, DNA testing and matches, and lots about adoptee searches and advocacy, because we believe everyone has a right to know who is in their genes. This episode is part one of introducing my son Alex to his 8 great-grandparents. Today, we're discussing the first two, his father's father's parents. I've given Alex a family tree diagram so he can keep track of who we're talking about, and I provided him with a deck so he can see some photos and documents to make some sense of all of it. We were originally planning 2 episodes, one for his 4 great-grandparents on his father's side and one for his 4 greats on my side, but we chatted a little, so I'm splitting the paternal side into 2 episodes. The next episode will be great-grandparents 3 and 4, his father's mother's parents. We'll see how my side goes if it ends up being 1 or 2 episodes, but look for part 2 next week and part 3 the following week. I hope you enjoy. Hi, Alex, and welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Here you are making your debut on your mom's show. What do you think of that?
It's a dream come true.
He humors me. Thank you so much for joining me today. So today you're going to be learning some details about your 4 paternal great-grandparents, meaning your dad's parents' parents. Are you excited?
I am.
So we're going to be showing Alex some slides, and of course you guys aren't going to be able to see them, but I'll be uploading a few of these to our socials afterwards, so if you want to check them out, they'll be on there. So we'll try to explain to you what we're looking at as we're doing so. So I want to start with your dad's dad's parents, who are great-grandparents 1 and 2 of the 8, Camille Germain and Alma Marie Doom. Camille and Alma were the parents of your grandpa, Ed. So Camille is your dad's dad's dad. And I have a family tree here that I'm showing Alex so he can keep track of all of this, who's who. Camille was born December 13th, 1873 in Beauvecourt, Belgium, to Peter Garman and Julia Wallen, both also born in Belgium. On one of the native records, their surname is spelled G-E-R-M-E-I-N. But on many, it's spelled G-A-R-M-Y-N. In a 1 birth record, Camille is actually Camillus. Camille had 1 confirmed brother, Henry, who was about 8 years younger, born in 1881. I think he also had siblings Theodore, born in 1872, and Renilda, born in 1875. And it looks like Mom Julia died about 1893, but I'm not 100% confirmed on this. We don't know much about their life in Belgium, but on the children's birth records, Father Peter's occupation is workman, W-E-R-K-M-A-N, which I think is descriptive.
Fascinating, a workman.
Except on Renilda's birth record, he was listed as herbergier, which in Dutch means innkeeper.
Oh.
So Beauvecourt is a small village in the province of West Flanders, Belgium. Today it has about 1,000 residents. West Flanders, the province, has a total population of over 1 million. And by the way, Belgium has a major basketball league. The basketball club Oostende is the local professional team in Flanders, which was founded in 1970, and it happens to be the most successful basketball club in Belgian history, with 25 Belgian league championships. This team competes in the BNXT League and the International Basketball Champions League. So for those of you who don't know, Alex is a youth basketball coach. He coaches at our local Y and as the JV boys coach at one of our local high schools. So that's why I'm bringing up the basketball connection to Belgium.
What a great hook. You got me now.
I didn't think that would happen so early, but I tried.
Did you plan that or what?
So, anyways, back to Camille. Camille boarded the ship SS Vaterland in Antwerp, Belgium on February 15th, 1906 and came to the United States. The SS Vaterland he sailed on was a Red Star Line ocean liner that ran between Antwerp and New York that could accommodate around 1,000 passengers. And we're looking at a picture of the Vaterland here. In 1914, this ship began sailing under the British flag. In 1915, it was requisitioned as a troop ship and renamed the Southland. It was torpedoed that year by a German submarine in the Aegean Sea, and 36 people were either killed by the explosion or drowned. The ship did not completely sink, though, and eventually made its way back to port. It was repaired and returned to service the following year in 1916. However, in 1917, it was again torpedoed by a German submarine off the Irish coast, and it did sink, and 4 lives were lost that time. So back to Camille. In 1909, Camille's father, Peter, also left Belgium for the US. On a list of passengers of the ship Vaterland, the same ship, Peter is described as age 59, measuring 5 feet 7 inches tall, with blue eyes, a fair complexion, and blonde hair. It states he has a disability condition of senility. He had $100 and was joining his son in Fowlerville, Michigan. It also names Desiree Germain as his brother in the old country. And Desiree was your Grandpa Ed's middle name. And we're looking at a picture here of Peter Germain.
And I do see some resemblance of him and my grandfather in the head shape and some other features. So it's interesting to see the connection over the generations.
Isn't that cool? I mean, this
That's
is your
fascinating.
father's 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 father.
That's wild. Absolutely wild.
I mean, he has the same last name as you.
And you said the last name earlier that sounded close to Germain. So
Garmin,
I
yes.
imagine if that got morphed somehow through, when people would come over to America, they just essentially be given a name or their name would be morphed somehow. So I wonder if something like that happened similarly here.
Yes, likely. And we've talked about that on the podcast a couple times, how when people came to the United States, they wanted to make it something that was easier to pronounce for everyone else, and also that they wanted to fit in. So they didn't want to have a strange sounding name. So they would often Englishize their names. And in fact, in a few minutes, we're going to talk a little bit more about some of your ancestors who did that. So I do imagine that that is how Garmin, Garmyn, became Germain, Germain. By 1910, Camille, Dad Peter, and brother Henry were in Handy, Michigan. And we're looking at a map of that here. Handy is the township, and Fowlerville is within the Handy Township. The 1910 census states they lived on a farm which they worked. Camille could read and write and had his naturalization papers, meaning he was working towards U.S. citizenship. I found a very cool map of Handy Township in Livingston County, Michigan from 1915 that shows a rectangular plot of land owned by C. Germain in Area 4 of the map, which is on the north portion nearly to the border with Conway Township. It shows that the East Branch River ran through the property. There's no legend on this particular map, but I believe the dots inside each plot represent the homes or the buildings in that property.
He owned a ton of land. Wow.
Yes. And the one in the C. Germain plot is in the very bottom right, so the southeast corner is where their home was. It is one of the bigger plots of land on this particular map. So this was the farm they owned and worked. There was an agricultural or farm census taken in 1910, which would have told us what they farmed, but these schedules for 1900 and 1910 were destroyed by congressional order. I'm sure they had no further use for them and didn't care to store them somewhere and had no idea how many people in the future would want them. So Camille registered for the draft for World War I at age 44 in 1917. His draft registration card, which we're looking at, states he was a naturalized U.S. citizen and that he was of medium height and build with grayish brown hair and blue eyes. It lists his nearest relative as Henry Germain, his brother. Henry, age 37, registered also and lists his wife Clementine as his nearest relative. He was also described as having medium height and build with blue eyes and brown hair. On December 8th, 1919, Camille was issued a passport, which is how we have his photo. The application confirms his birth date and place, his residence at the time, which was Fowlerville, Michigan, and his father as Peter Germain. It describes him as 45 years of age, 5 feet 8 inches tall, with brown hair, blue eyes, and a ruddy complexion. A UK and Ireland incoming passenger list shows Camille Germain, age 46, farmer, sailed on the ship Baltic of the White Star steamship line from New York, arriving in Liverpool on January 3rd, 1920, in transit to Belgium. So he sailed back to Belgium in 1920.
After he had already been in Michigan for a little while.
Yes.
Okay.
So now we're going to shift for just a minute to great grandparent number two, Alma Maria Doom, your dad's mother. Alma was born on August 14th, 1887, in Beauvaisant, Belgium, to Desiree or Desiderius Doom. Isn't that a cool name? Desiderius
A
Doom?
lot of D's in there.
Desiderius Doom, I just feel like it should be an action figure or something in a cartoon.
Oh, definitely.
And Juliana Paulet. She had at least one sibling, Alphonse, 4 years younger. We have a record of Camille and Alma arriving back in New York on April 28th, 1920, so about 4.5 months later, aboard the SS Kroonland from Antwerp, Belgium. The arriving passenger list details Camille as having received his U.S. citizenship on May 20th, 1918, and Alma as having received a passport issued through the Brussels U.S. Embassy on April 5th, so about 3 weeks prior to them sailing. This seems to be confirmed by an emergency U.S. passport application for Alma, which was issued on March 29th, 1920, and we're looking at a copy of that here. It states in part, I, Alma Maria Doom Germain, called Garmin, Garmyn, in Belgium, a naturalized and loyal citizen of the United States, hereby apply to the American Embassy at Brussels, Belgium, for an emergency passport for myself. I was born at Beauvaisant, Belgium, on August 14th, 1887. My husband, Camille Germain, called Garmin in Belgium, emigrated to the United States from Beauvaisant, Belgium, on or about 1906, and he resided 14 years uninterruptedly in the United States from 1906 to 1920. At Fowlerville, Michigan, that he was naturalized as a citizen of the United States before the Circuit Court of Livingston County at Howell, Michigan, on May 20th, 1918, and that he is now residing in Beauvaisant, Belgium, for the purpose of waiting for a steamer. It further states, I have resided outside the United States at the following places for the following periods, Beauvaisant, Belgium, always. So she has always lived in Belgium. So how is she a resident of the United States? I desire a passport for use in visiting the countries hereinafter named for the following purpose: Belgium, to accompany husband returning to United States, sworn at the American consulate at Ghent, Belgium, on 29 March 1920. So this application provides her photo and a description of her, age 33, 5 feet 6 inches tall, brown eyes, dark brown hair, and a fair complexion. It also states Camille's passport and naturalization papers were also provided, along with a marriage book issued by the Commune of Beauvaucourt, March 25, 1920, proving marriage with Camille Germain. So in 1920, women who were married to US citizens or naturalized citizens automatically became US citizens by reason of marriage. This changed just 2 years later with the passage of the 1922 Cable Act. Then she would have had to apply for citizenship herself, requiring 5 years of residency and 6 months in the state where she was naturalizing. But in 1920, Alma's citizenship was proved by Camille's naturalization records. So basically, Camille went back to Beauvaucourt in January. They got married in March, and in April they came back to Michigan together. So, how do you think that happened? Let's think about this for a minute. When Camille came to Michigan in 1906, he was about 33 years old. At that time, Alma would have been about 19. Did they know each other then and plan this whole thing out? That Camille would come over, establish himself as a citizen, get some land, etc., then bring her over. He was recognized as a citizen in 1918, got his passport in 1919, and went over there in January of 1920. Or maybe their families in Beauvaucourt set them up, since in 1920, Camille was still single at age 47, and Alma was still single at about age 33. So, what do you think of that?
It sounds like he just basically got their life in America set up somehow. I don't know about the connection between those two, though.
Right. It's like, I mean, we'll never know unless we find one of them wrote something down somewhere, but
It
it's
sounds
interesting to speculate.
like a homestead was built and then she came over. That's what it comes off as at my first view.
If you think about it, though, see, that's what I thought at first, too. But when you think about it, if he was going to be over here 16 years anyways, why didn't she just come with him and spend the 16 years and get her citizenship in her own right?
Could have been family holding her back or some sort of
Sure.
opportunity in Belgium.
And maybe she didn't want to have to
Move to America.
move to America and work so hard to establish the farm, not knowing if they're going to be able to make anything of it. I mean, who knows? It's just very interesting to speculate about, what the story is, especially if you consider the difference in their age. I mean, almost 15 years difference in their age. So we may never know. But by the 1930 census, Camille, who was then 57, and Alma was 42, had four children: Walter, Edgar, who is your grandfather, Agnes, and Dorothy. On the 1940 census, in addition to the four kids, there was a 13-year-old lodger living with them, John Grifford, and I'm not sure who he was. He may have just been a farmhand. About May 6th, 1942, Camille had a tractor accident on the farm. He was admitted to St. Lawrence Hospital in Lansing, Michigan, and had fractured ribs, a fractured pelvis, and other internal injuries. He died 4 days later on May 10th, 1942, at age 68, from his injuries and a pulmonary embolism. A newspaper article from the Livingston County Daily Press and Argus, published on May 13th, 1942, recounts the incident. In part, it reads: "It is reported that the tractor, being driven by Henry Germain, which was his brother, as it turned into the yard from the highway, struck a rut. Camille, who was riding in the machine, was thrown violently against the wheel, sustaining a broken shoulder, broken ribs, and other injuries. What do you think of that?
So Henry was driving the tractor, but Camille died by getting thrown against the wheel of the tractor?
That's what it says.
I'm just trying to figure out how that would even happen. He was thrown, he must have been thrown off the tractor itself and landed on it, would be the only thing I could imagine. Died because of it and have broken ribs and a broken shoulder. My God.
Right. It sounds pretty severe, but accidents with farming equipment is not unusual.
And especially back then, I'd imagine that would be a somewhat common form to die.
Right. Well, and he was 68 years old, too, so he was, maybe he was starting to get a little more fragile.
Especially at that point in time.
So Camille was buried in the Mount Olivet Catholic Cemetery in Fowlerville. The 1950 census is the last one in the U.S. that's publicly available. They're taken every 10 years, but they're not made public until 72 years later for privacy reasons. So the 1960 census won't be available until 2032. But in the 1950 census, which was released in 2022, Alma, your great-great-grandmother, had been a widow for about 8 years and was age 62. She was not working nor looking for work. And she was living with son Walter, who was 29, daughter Dorothy, 20, and two minor lodgers, Robert P. McCaig, age 10, and Jeffrey M. Lezeth, age 10. Walter was working as a carpenter and Dorothy as a bookkeeper in the insurance industry. Alma died 14 years later in 1964 at age 76 and was buried next to Camille at the Mount Olivet Cemetery in Fowlerville. So how are you feeling about all that?
It's a lot to take in, considering I don't know much of the detailed history, pretty much past my grandfather. Mm-hmm. So I see the Michigan relation as I have family that currently lives in Michigan. So that's an interesting touch point to connect there. And it's always interesting when you throw in an interesting death. It always makes you perk up a little bit. So,
well, you perked up at the beginning with the basketball connection and then at the end with the interesting death.
So as long as you throw in an interesting death once in a while, this will be absolutely riveting.
So does this change at all how you think about yourself, your dad, your grandpa Ed, knowing that they came from these people who came over from Belgium, somehow got a plot of land, and just started a farm, and then created a family from there?
To be honest, it sort of doesn't surprise me all that much. It seems very typical of the time period.
Sounds very Americana, doesn't it?
It sounds exactly like the stories that you're told in elementary school of people coming across the ocean and setting up a farm and mending the land and all the stereotypical American dream.
Exactly. So does it bring to mind anything else that you might want to learn about this particular line of your family now that you know this much?
When we looked at the map, because I do have some knowledge primarily through you of those old eras of owning land and the way of life of how did he get to, because the size of the plot of land on the map was significant. It immediately caught my eye as pretty much being the largest plot owned in that entire town. So I know it's probably difficult to ascertain why or how it got to that point, but that would be very interesting to find out.
Duly noted, and now on my list of things to research. Thank you for listening to the Who Is In My Genes podcast with me, Tracy Tucker. If you enjoyed it, please give us a great review to help others find the show and follow us to get notified of new episodes. Visit us online at whoisinmygenes.com for all the ways we can help you find out who is in your genes, and follow us on Instagram for the images we mention in the show. Links are in the show notes. Join us next week for a new episode of Adventures in Exploring Family Trees.